This is Each for All, the Cooperative Connection, your weekly report on the cooperative sector. Proudly broadcasting on Vancouver Co-op Radio, 100.5 FM, and online at coopradio.org. I'm Sandy Goldman. In this episode, we head to BC's South Cariboo region to explore the work of the Horse Lake Community Farm Co-op, incorporated in 2006 to protect the ecological integrity of a vital lakeshore acreage. Rob Deether is a founding member and current board chair. We spoke at length about how the co-op got started, what it means to protect local farming capacity, provide high-quality organic foods, the outlawed caribou potato, building a new root cellar, and giving kids a chance to connect with the land. Here's our discussion.
The Horse Lake Community Farm Co-op is located at the east end of Horse Lake, which is just east of 100 Mile House. And the co-op, we helped to start the co-op. Now, I'm also, besides being the chairperson of the Horse Lake Community Farm Co-op, I'm a member of what's called SEEDS, which stands for Community Enhancement and Economic Development Society. And SEEDS actually predates the co-op. And SEEDS was and is a group of people that we've advocated for organic growing and communal living for many years, actually since the 70s. And we've lived in various places in the Cariboo. We moved to the South Cariboo 100 Mile House area in 1985. And we were just renting places. And one of the places that we rented was the present site of the co-op. We called it the Betty Place because the woman that owned it was named Betty Johnson. And often the case in this area, locations are sort of known by, the people that lived there at one time. So this was called the Betty Place. And so SEEDS, we settled in and did some farming on this piece of property. I think we settled in here about 1989, and the piece of property is 133 acres in size, and it's a mixture of a hay field and wooded pasture, and we have about an acre of a garden site there as well. The property is located right on the lake, or at least part of the property. Actually, there's a shoreline for its lake, but it's the property affords this most magnificent view if one is looking westward down Horse Lake. It's quite a spectacular place, and it's a very rare, unfortunately, kind of a rare piece of agricultural property that's still devoted to agriculture along the shores of Horse Lake. So it was just a real gem of a place. And so we rented or leased the property starting, as I say, I think about 1988 or 89. We rented the property from Betty Johnson. I guess in the early 2000s, Betty indicated to us that she actually wished to sell the property. And by this time, we'd been living there for quite a number of years.
Rob, can I ask who was all involved at this point in the farming? And you talk about SEEDS. Was it you and your family, or were there many farmers? Can you just tell us who was in on the ground floor and a little bit more about who was there at the start?
SEEDS is, as I say, is a was a, we were a communal farming group. And of individuals, And just we were sort of united in our sort of belief in organic agricultural, labor intensive agriculture, organic agriculture. And so, yeah, just basically individuals. And there must have been, I would think, maybe a dozen of us at the time. And then now
Right.
this included my partner, Lorraine. Lorraine and I had two kids. Lorraine is deceased.
Yes, I read that. My condolences.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. Well, that was some time ago, but nevertheless, yeah, Lorraine was also a founding member of Seeds and a founding member of the Horse Lake Community Farm Co-op. So it was just a group of individuals, and we were doing similar farming, communal living projects east of Williams Lake.
So sort of back to the landers in a sense.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for saying that. We were absolutely part of the Back to the Land movement.
Fantastic. And so you all found each other and you had a common purpose, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Terrific. So then what happened? Betty was going to sell this. Could you just tell us about the size of Betty's place and what a person could grow there? Like, why was it a great location besides being on the lake and one thing and another? What is that land good for?
Well, it's good for a mixed agriculture. So, we ran a few cows on the property. We had sheep on the property. We had poultry. I don't think we ever have had pigs on the. We used to raise quite a few pigs as well, but no, we didn't have any pigs. But we used it. So we used it for pasture for our sheep.
Pasture, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Pasture for our sheep and our cows. We were able to grow a little bit of hay on the property. They had actually had irrigated hay fields at one time. It was irrigated by quite an ingenious ditch irrigation system.
Cool.
We just weren't able to maintain it. So we didn't really grow too much hay there. So pasture and also as I say, we had a kind of a large garden there. So
Right.
it was a and our elevation is quite high in this area. So we're the
Yes.
official elevation of Horse Lake is 3,250 feet. So
Right.
we're right
Yeah.
up here.
Yes.
And so it's, we're limited to the kind of crops we can grow, but what crops we can grow, do very well. And with the, with the, because we were running some cattle and sheep, we had access to manure. And so the gardening, the garden was very fertile, very rich piece of
Right.
ground.
Right. Real circular economy there, or recycling, right? Everything has a function, right?
Yeah,
Feed the
exactly.
cows, get the manure, grow the crops. Okay, so Betty was going to sell, and I bet you folks were really upset about that because once it's gone, it's gone, right?
Well, yes, and we were concerned certainly for ourselves. We really, really wanted to remain on this quite remarkable piece of property, but we were concerned that should the property sell to someone else. It's within the agricultural land reserve, but
Okay,
that
that's
doesn't,
important.
yes, but it doesn't necessarily protect it from developers can do a lot. They allot a lot of money, so they can there was a potential that that piece of property could have been bought by somebody that could have managed to subdivide it, or else be just turned into a big private estate
Right.
belonging to someone. So we were concerned about that. We thought the farm is a good asset for the community. So yes, we sort of scrambled and we began to consider how we might be able to what we might be able to do to save the piece of property. And we did not have the resources to buy it ourselves. And Betty Johnson was, she was, you know, she would, she was very happy. She had wanted to sell it to us, but was just whether we could afford it or not. And just at that time, I guess we were reading somewhere that the Land Conservancy of BC had started a program to preserve unique heritage farms in the province, besides, you know, the besides the TLC caring for more property for its entire ecological values. They had started this program. So anyway, we got in touch and with the TLC, and they were quite happy to work with us. So we some of the TLC people came up, including Bill Turner and Ramona Scott. They came up to visit us. They liked what we were doing. So they created a model. They suggested that we form a co-op and start selling shares, and with that money enable us to purchase the property.
The TLC has some experience with the cooperative model, obviously, if they're suggesting that as a way to go, right?
Yeah, that's right. They did, and they seem to have many ways to approach approach acquiring property.
This was
And
quite fortuitous for you all, isn't it?
oh
That
yeah.
they started that. Things just fell together in a way that without that, you might not have been able to preserve the land. So now you've got a partner in the TLC, and where did it go from there?
Well, the idea initially was that we would sell shares and acquire the property. We had hoped to, I think we had allotted ourselves the ability to sell 200 shares, and the shares were valued at $5,000 each.
That's a lot of dough.
That is a lot of dough, and I think really the idea was that we really needed to raise quite a bit of
Capital, sure.
capital in a short time. So had we valued the shares at, you know, $1,000 or $2,000, it just would have taken much longer to acquire. So anyway, we did. It was determined that the shares would be worth $5,000, and there would be a maximum amount of shares, 200 shares. And so we began approaching our friends in the community and supporters, and the response was great. You know, yeah, because we'd been in this part of this 100 Mile House community for really many years, and we were very well known for our farming, and you know, through the farmers market, we were founding members of the South Cariboo Farmers Market.
So you were well established and I'm sure highly regarded. And community members, like if I'm a community member and I live there in 100 Mile, I don't necessarily, let's say, want to farm the land, but I want to contribute to the preservation of the land. So as an individual or a family, we could buy a share.
Exactly. That was
Oh, that's great. So it's a
just
real community farm then, community co-op.
it. No, it truly is. It truly is. And we were so we set off, and we did very well. We did well enough selling shares, I should say, that we were able to make a down payment on the property, and Betty was happy to hold the mortgage, and we've continued to sell shares. And then we had a couple that were very involved with the co-op, that they ended up taking over the mortgage on the property, and everybody was very generous in terms of the amount of interest that we had to pay. And then several years ago, we developed a loan repayment program. We had other people come on board to sort of share the burden of the mortgage. And just last year, we were actually able to pay off the mortgage.
Isn't that fantastic? So, how many years from the share offering?
2006 is when we
Right,
incorporated.
to
Yeah.
2024. So
Yes.
really, in the whole scheme of things, it's less than 20 years.
Yes, that's correct.
Isn't that, you must have been thrilled. Everyone must have been just so excited that now you really own it. That's fantastic. So as a co-op, if let's say I'm a community member and I have a share, is it possible, should I need some funds for, something came up for the family, can I redeem my share at any point or sell it to somebody else? I'm just wondering about the flexibility.
Yes, well, the shares are redeemable,
Oh, good.
but we've actually we so several years ago, in order to pay back the mortgage. Now we are bringing income into the co-op because we lease we actually lease the property to three tenants, farming tenants.
Great.
And we one of the tenants are Seeds members, Rod and Karen, and they have a flock of sheep there, a small flock of sheep and poultry, and they do gardening in the garden. We have a couple that are members of the co-op that run a few cattle on the property, Galloway cows, by the way, belted Galloways,
Okay. Okay, we'll
and.
talk about them in a sec because we want
And
to hear about your famous potato as well.
oh my God,
Yes,
yes, the
and
potato. And then
yes.
there's a third. So there's a third couple that are renting the farmhouse that exists on the property.
Great.
And they're a young couple, and they just arrived. Most of us are getting a little bit long in the tooth, so we're looking
Right.
at succession. We'd like to bring on a younger generation. So with the couple that are now at the farmhouse, they are a young couple, and they're just fantastic, and so they've really helped. But in any case, we were that's how the co-op was bringing in income, was by renting or leasing
Terrific. So
to.
you've got a steady stream of income from that rent,
That's right.
from the land, and so that keeps it, that keeps it going. So I read a story about this farmer in Horse Lake and this caribou potato that was being grown up there, but it was outlawed. And guess who the farmer is? Rob Deether. So
Whoop.
tell our listeners about the famous caribou potato. I know you didn't develop it. It was developed by a lab, I guess a federal agricultural lab down east, but you got some of the seeds and then it got outlawed because it wasn't considered commercially viable. So tell our listeners about that potato and I understand you're still growing it and people want the seeds. So tell us that great story.
Well, we heard about the caribou potato back in the 80s, the caribou potato was this a variety of potato that was developed, I think, in Fredericton in New
Yes,
Brunswick by
right.
Agriculture Canada. So it didn't have a name, but I guess there were different areas in the country that were experimenting with the potato to see how good it was. And one of the places it ended up for testing was in the Cariboo, actually north of Williams Lake along the Fraser River, and in a potato seed control area. Anyway, the Cariboo potato, unnamed at this point, was grown, and the people that were testing it out were quite pleased with it. And so they decided to, I guess Agriculture Canada decided to offer this as a registered variety of potato. And somebody in the Prince George office of Ag Canada actually named it the Caribou potato. So
Great.
that's how it's got its name, the Caribou, and it does grow very well. Actually, the first person that really, the first of us, first person of our group that knew about the caribou potato was Jerry Laborde. And Jerry was a founding member of our communal group. And Jerry grew up in Quesnel, so of course he knew lots of the old farmers and around, and he'd heard about the caribou potatoes. So I think about around 1980, we made a trip. Several of us drove up to see an old farmer, guy by the name of Tommy Wint, to see if he had any of these caribou potatoes. And Tommy had grown them and he really liked them, but he didn't have any. So he suggested we get in touch with another grower, a fellow by the name of John Reiser, who lived north of Quesnel at Hixson. So sometime later, a bunch of us piled into our van, brought our
What a mission.
guitars and musical instruments, and we
Right on.
ended up to see John Reiser and had a good visit with him. He's now deceased, unfortunately, but John really loved potatoes, and he had grown the caribou potato. He was also a fiddle player. So anyway, that's where
Oh,
the music.
cool. That's great.
We played music with John, and he said yes, he would try to track down some caribou seed for us, which he did.
Right.
He went to some. There was an event put on by Ag Canada, and they had tables with all kinds of different potatoes. Oh well, I should say so that the but prior to that, so the caribou potato came online, people started growing it, but it just wasn't actually turned out to be not that popular because the caribou potato has quite a lot of foliage, and farmers weren't that happy with it. It was a little bit difficult to handle the foliage, and it would be sort of clogging up their
Machinery.
machinery, the harvesting machinery. So it
Right.
sort of fell out of popularity. And also, I think because the caribou potato is quite sensitive to sunlight,
Okay.
and it would turn green, I think fairly easily, especially in supermarkets under the fluorescent lights and so on.
Oh
So
yes. Well,
anyway.
I would turn green too under fluorescent lights. I
Well, yeah,
don't like them. But go
it's not
ahead.
a it's not a potato
Not a
friendly
natural,
environment
yes, that's
in the
right.
supermarket. It's maybe not a people friendly place. I
No, but
don't
I just have to ask you something before we go on. How was the taste? Was it a baking potato, good for French fries or mashed? Like, what was it, a yellow potato? Just tell us a bit how it tasted.
Okay. Well, I it tasted it's it has a very smooth kind of a texture, and a smooth and rich texture and taste.
Sounds good.
Flesh is slightly yellow. It's got a little bit of yellowish yellow to it, and it's a smooth skin potato, and the skin is lovely. The skin is has a sort of a it's a yellow and it's a yellow skin with sort of pink, beautiful pink blotches on it.
Right.
And it's really a lovely potato. So when you grow them, we used to sell them at the farmer's market, and we would all wash them up, and then you'd have a bin full of these beautiful caribou potatoes, and they just
Right.
look so lovely. And very good for really any number of things. They baked well, they boiled well, you could boil them, they wouldn't get mushy, sort of.
Right.
And I especially like them as a mashed potato.
Oh, sounds great.
So as I say, they were very smooth and
And
creamy.
versatile. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was a great potato. But so at some point, and prior to when we got the potato, the seeds, it had been deregistered. So which meant that nobody was allowed to grow and sell the caribou seed.
Right.
So that was sort of the end of that.
And so it wasn't commercially viable,
It
like for
wasn't,
large scale.
well,
Yeah.
it didn't seem to be.
Right.
That's the
Right.
story.
But you guys still continued to grow it.
Absolutely. Once we got our hands on our caribou seed potato, and John was able to line up four potatoes for us.
Right.
And so
Outlaw potatoes.
we took them home, and we grew them, and I think we might have had 1 feed of potatoes that first year, and then we kept saving the seed until Now we have quite a bit of seed.
And I
And
understand you were threatened with a $10,000 fine from Ag Canada at one point because you were still growing them, but not really for commercial. I guess is selling them at a farmer's market considered commercial?
well, it would be if it, at any scale, if there's any
Right.
kind of scale.
Right.
So yes, and so yes, the fines on the books are quite severe for planting a growing and selling an unregistered variety of seed.
So, Rob, you didn't end up getting fined by Ag Canada for growing the caribou potato?
No, but we certainly we had lots of fun with Ag Canada, and no, they never did show up at our doorstep, but it was actually quite a bit of, as I say, quite a bit of fun, kind
And if
of using them.
people want the potato, they can get it from you at your farm market at at 100 Mile House.
Well, they certainly can, and we're with the caribou potato. We're not selling it. It was just by donation. Somebody wants a few
Sure.
caribou potatoes to try, then we're
Great.
happy to provide them, and they can provide a little bit of a donation, and that all the donations go towards towards the Horse Lake Community Farm Co-op. Yes.
Terrific. Now, the reason that I wanted to interview you is because I saw a story about the new root cellar that you're working on, and I was captivated by that, and I wanted to hear about it. I'm not really sure that a lot of our listeners know what a root cellar is. So tell us about the new root cellar, what a root cellar is for, and why that's important for the farm.
Well, a root cellar is a very almost an ancient method of preserving food. It involves sort of underground storage where it is very, very cool to keep things cool, but as importantly, it's underground, and it keeps things safe in the wintertime. It keeps things from freezing. So it's really a very secure method of storing food. I mean, we normally we're talking about vegetable crops, potatoes, root crops, potatoes, turnips, carrots, beets, and all that. Those kind of crops can be kept stored safely. And this, of course, is without the use of any carbon producing electricity and that sort of thing. And it sort of maintains a cool and humid condition, and that preserves the crops through the winter, and it reduces spoilage without the need for any carbon inputs. So it's a really tried and true way of preserving food. And we've had root cellars. We built a root cellar when we lived at a place called the Borland Meadow. This was seeds. The Community Enhancement Economic Development Society, our communal group, when we lived in at the Borland Meadow, we built a root cellar there, and we when we moved down to the co-op, the property, the Betty place, we built a root cellar in the year 2000, and which we're still using today, but the cellar is showing its age.
Right.
And we decided that we better replace it with a new cellar. But we think that any community in should have this kind of storage. Back in 2017, we had terrible forest fires through here, and there have been
Right.
several times, that the truck traffic from the lower mainland
Was interrupted. Sure.
was interrupted, and
Right.
all of a sudden, it didn't take long for the supermarket shelves to
Right.
be empty. So,
Same thing during the pandemic, I'm sure.
well, that's right, and so we think it's really in the best interest of any community to develop systems for growing food and for storing food, and that
Right.
cellars are such a wonderful way of
Right.
a secure way of doing that.
Yeah, keep it sustainable. Are people from the community allowed to store their vegetables there, or is it just for the people farming the co-op?
Well, it's primarily for the folks at the farm
Right.
that are growing produce, but there with this new cellar, we will have some capacity to actually make space available to other growers in the area that would
Oh,
like to.
terrific. Now
Yeah, but it,
I know the co-op is, sorry, Rob, because my time is going to run short, and I wanted to make sure to touch on the co-op's ambition to educate the public, especially young folks, about farming, where food comes from, farming in a sustainable way, and making, a connection to the land. After all, they're the future environmental stewards. And so you've got a project which sounds really exciting called the Forest Floor Project. Can you tell us a bit about that as a last point today?
Sure. Well, the Forest Floor program is designed to encourage young people to come and participate, visit the farm through the schools. And in fact, just this morning, we had a group of kids from the local Horse Lake community. Or from the Horse Lake Elementary School that were out
Nice.
watching us plant potatoes,
Oh,
and
great.
and we've invited other schools in the school district 27 to participate in this and make the farm available so they can take students out onto the land and experience sustainable organic farming, see how it's done. Participate when they can, and then also just to be out in nature. At the west end of the property, we're just fencing right now, and that is going to we are rewilding as part of the program. We are re rewilding that area, so we're going to have an area of the farm that is just devoted to there won't be any cattle on it or anything like that. So we're interested to see. What happens there, and yeah, give kids a real experience on the farm and on the land.
Well, that's fantastic. It's experiential learning for the kids. And this is how they build connections to the land, right? By being there and learning about how things grow and becoming part of it. And what a great undertaking for the co-op. I mean, that's a terrific way to give back to the community and promote, the interest and just the experience for the next generation. Who knows where those kids are gonna, take that. But it's so great for them to get out of school and get outside and learn where their food comes from and how to grow it in a sustainable and organic manner. Rob, we've had such a good discussion today, and I know there's so many more things the co-op is doing. But I just want to thank you for spending time with us and telling us about the Horse Lake Community Farm Co-op in the South Cariboo. We wish you all the best going forward. Good luck with the root cellar and all the things you're doing. And we hope that we can catch up with you again in the future. Thanks so much, Rob.
Well, it's been a pleasure speaking with you, and we'll keep in touch.
Right, you've got this new newsletter, and I got the spring one. It's very exciting. So keep us in the loop.
Absolutely.
Okay, Rob, thanks so much. Bye for now.
Thank you. Bye.
That was Rob Deether of the Horse Lake Community Farm Co-op. A special thank you to the BC United Way for its help funding the new root cellar project with a Climate Resilient Communities Food Infrastructure Grant. That's it for this edition of Each for All, the Cooperative Connection. Thanks to my fellow cooperator, Joshua Peterman, for putting all the pieces together. I'm Sandy Goldman. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and have a cooperative week.
Thank you.